Peace be with you. Friends, our gospel for today is taken from the 18th chapter of Matthew. And it's a wonderful practical display of the ethic of the kingdom. I know that sometimes talk of the kingdom of God can seem terribly abstract or spiritual in a negative sense. What we see here is that the kingdom of God looks like something. It shows up in certain very concrete forms of behavior. And the form of behavior spoken of is a very difficult but necessary one. I'm talking about fraternal correction. Pointing out to a brother or sister his or her sins and misdeeds. Now, look, I don't know any sensible person who particularly likes to do this. And most of us, you know, shrink from the task of pointing out to another his problems or sins. Here's the thing, though, Christians. Christians are truth tellers. Jesus referred to himself as the way, the truth, and the life. That means that we are obliged to live in the truth. Sin is always, to some degree, the path of untruth. It's important, I think. The devil is called, of course, the father of lies. See, think about it. Sin is some untruthful form of behavior. And it's born of some untruthful perception of things. Jesus is the way. How do you find the way? By finding Jesus, who is the truth. Therefore, we tell the truth. We operate out of the truth. We don't make excuses. We don't run away. We don't hide. We don't dissemble. We don't obfuscate. We tell the truth. We live out of the truth. And part of that is sometimes telling hard truths about others. Our first reading from the prophet Ezekiel is a warm-up for a compliment to the gospel text. Listen now to Ezekiel. You, son of man, I have appointed watchmen for the house of Israel. When you hear me say anything, you shall warn them for me. Okay, strong stuff. That's the Lord speaking to the prophet about his job, his task. He's been appointed watchmen for the house of Israel. When he hears something from God, he is to warn people about it. Now, I realize, again, this command can be seriously misconstrued in the direction of minding other people's business, of snooping and prying, judging and fussing. But the possibility of abuse doesn't take away the necessity of watching out for others. I mean, my point is, people can abuse this in the ways I've described. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't at times walk this challenging path of telling the truth to others when they need to hear it. I bet a lot of you listening to me have had the experience of being involved in an intervention. Those painful confrontations with people who are stuck in addictions or forms of misbehavior that are really doing damage to themselves and to those they love. Anyone involved in intervention will tell you that they would dearly love to let it slide. They would dearly love just to forget about it, hope that the problem clears itself up. But they know that this rarely happens. And so they have to take action. Never easy, but sometimes necessary. Why? Out of truth and out of love. If somebody's walking a path that is very dangerous to them, spiritually, psychologically, morally, we would be derelict in our love for them if we didn't speak it clearly. Again, every parent knows this. With little kids, you know, you do it in a very direct way. You might actually pick them up. You might stop them from doing something damaging. But as a kid gets older, you have to engage in maybe more subtle forms of correction, but engage in them you must if the child's walking down a path that is very destructive. Okay, so let's go back to the gospel now and to see, according to Jesus, how we are to proceed as we do this work. How do we proceed in such a way as to avoid the pitfalls and to be successful in this intervention? Matthew 18, and again, keep that in mind, friends. It's a very practical guide. Go back to it, look at it, study it. Matthew 18 gives us a very practical guide, following a sort of spiritual version of the principle of subsidiarity. Now, that's a technical term from the Catholic social teaching tradition. It says that social, economic, and political problems should be solved first at the local level, and that one should move to a higher level of authority only when absolutely necessary. So you have some problem in your neighborhood. Well, it should be dealt with at the local level. You should invoke the leadership at the level closest to the problem. And only if they can't solve it do you move, let's say, to the municipal level. Only if they can't solve it do you move to the urban level, then to the state level, then to the federal level, etc. That's the principle of subsidiarity. So here now, there's a kind of version of that in regard to fraternal correction. Listen now as Jesus speaks. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've won over your brother. Okay. Our first instinct, and it's a bad one, is that when someone hurts us, is we complain to somebody else, right? That's our instinct. We take out our frustrations through gossip, backstabbing, passive aggression, bad mouthing. Tell everyone except the one who might actually benefit from your word of fraternal correction. Think of all the ways that members of dysfunctional families relate to each other. Think of all these errant paths that they go down, including forms of passive and even active aggression. Jesus says now, following the principle of subsidiarity, go first directly to the person involved and, in a spirit of love, tell him how he's hurt you or how he's misbehaved. How hard this is, I know it is. If someone's doing something wrong, someone's hurt you, the first move you should make is go directly to that person. It accomplishes, it seems to me, a multitude of good things. First of all, it names the problem clearly, directly, unambiguously, and it does so in the context of love, by which I mean the willingness to do good for the other. Finally, it doesn't wreck the person's reputation. So you've been hurt, or you see someone taking a bad path, and you go directly to him, go directly to her. Well, it's not going to ruin the person's reputation, which, of course, backstabbing and all that necessarily does. Okay, so what do you do if you follow this good advice and the person doesn't listen? The person continues the bad behavior. Well, then you should just shout it from the rooftops. Then you should go to the press. Then you should gab about it. No. Remember subsidiarity. Bring it to the next level, but only the next level. Listen, if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you and confront him. In other words, widen the circle, but ever so slightly. Now, what does this accomplish? Well, one very important thing, it helps the person see that this is not just your little private problem. See, maybe he'd say, well, look, that's your hang up. You think I'm doing something bad, but that's just your problem. Well, if you bring two or three others with you who say, we see the same thing, that might convince the person that, no, there's something objectively wrong here. And, you know, by the way, it's a wonderful test for you. If you can find two or three others who have seen the same problem and feel about it as strongly as you do, then you know this is not just something quirky in you. See, maybe you are wrong. Maybe it is your hang-up, and you should actually drop the matter. If you can't find two or three others who agree with you, then maybe it is your problem, and you should just be quiet about it. Now, let's say he doesn't listen even to the two or three others. Then Jesus says it should be brought to the church. Interesting, isn't it? He doesn't say, now go to the press. Now go to the rooftops. Now start gossiping, complaining widely and universally. No, no. Bring the matter to the church. Not to anyone, not to the papers, not to the public square, but to the church, which means that circle of people gathered around Jesus in love, and therefore, we presume, committed to each other. You see what's happening here is the circle is being widened, but always carefully, moving step by step, and always situating it within the context of love. See, that's the ultimate test. When you complain about somebody, be really honest now. Really honest. Are you doing it out of love? If you're not, then you should keep your mouth shut. A principle I've enunciated before, I know, because I learned it years ago, and it's very helpful to me. Correct somebody, complain about someone, precisely in the measure that you are willing to help the person deal with the problem you're naming. Can I suggest that's a really good principle? Hard, but good. Complain about someone, correct someone precisely in the measure that you are willing to commit yourself to helping the person deal with the problem. That's what's behind Jesus' recommendations here. Then the last step, which I find fascinating. Listen. Finally, if he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Okay. You've tried everything. You've gone carefully step by step. And the person still doesn't listen. Well, maybe at that point there's not much more you can do. Maybe at that point the person has effectively removed himself or herself from the community. They've made themselves into, in Jesus' language, a Gentile or a tax collector, meaning someone outside the community of the church. Sad? Uh-huh. Regrettable? Deeply? Yeah. But it can happen. You've not so much ostracized the person. The person's ostracized himself. But then, friends, keep this in mind. How did Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? He continued to reach out to them. Even though they had expelled themselves, you want to say, from the community, he reached out to them. And we can still pray for them. How important that this little passage ends with, if two or three of you are gathered in my name, there am I in your midst. And if two or more of you agree on earth about anything for which you pray, it'll be granted by my Heavenly Father. Treat them as Gentiles and tax collectors. That means reach out to them in love and continue to pray for them. Matthew 18, wonderful practical guidance to fraternal correction. And God bless you.